dark day 2,000 years ago. It was a dark night when a star showed up in the sky. The wise men headed to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, sorry, to find our wise king in a manger. If you can go ahead and find your seats. I don't know if y'all heard that background music, but there was a movie that came out this week. I don't know if you're aware of that. What movie came out? Star Wars. Do we have any Star Wars fans? There's one way out there going like this. Yeah, I see you out there. So when I was preparing for the message on hope and how hope invaded us at Christmas, I just thought of Star Wars, so I had to include it somehow. So that's how I did it. Y'all might not have heard it, but it was there. Can you believe it's already week 4 of Advent? Week 4 of celebrating the coming of our King, the anticipation of the celebration. We had a Christmas gathering with our small group this week, and we did a Christmas trivia, and one of the questions was, what does Advent mean? That's why I said to anticipate, because some people said to anticipate, and some people said the coming. But we agreed that we can anticipate the coming of a king, even though the correct answer is the coming. Just thought I'd put that out there for all you in my small group out here. So we've been celebrating the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we've had 3 awesome weeks of messages. Merle kicked us off in week 1 when he spoke about hope finally coming after 400 years of complete silence. Week 2, Becca spoke a great message on how the light of our Savior always overcomes the darkness and always penetrates darkness and lights up the dark places of our lives. And last week, Sue spoke a great message about how when hope came, it was beyond anything that we can hope or imagine. It unreasonable kind of hope entered our world. It was a great lineup of messages. They all preach a message of hope very well. You know, hope is something that allows us to get through things. It gives us perspective that is beyond ourselves. Hope allows us to keep on keeping on, am I right? If we have hope, we get to a place where we can keep on going. Hope is such a small word, but it is a very powerful word. The 4 words in hope hold victory, or they can hold defeat in our lives. Without hope, we stop standing when difficulties come our way. Without hope, our joy fades, our identity disappears, and all that we value becomes meaningless. Think about your life for a moment and what you put your hope in. Many Americans put their hope in the lottery, right? Though the odds are stacked way against you of hitting that big number, many Americans put their hope in the lottery. Many Americans put their hope in our government. Got one snicker over here. Only to be disappointed by the way they act and the things that they do. Many of us put our hope in our family and our friends and those we spend life with, only to be disappointed when they don't meet our expectations. This week, we're going to talk about a hope that will never let us down. A hope that will carry us through, a hope that invaded our lives and gives us a hope for now and a hope for eternity. What would your life look like if you had a hope that would never fail you? What would your life look like if you could believe in something and have hope in something that never disappointed you? Christmas is a time to celebrate the gift of hope that Christ brought when he came to this earth. But it's more than just celebrating him coming. It's more than just celebrating what he did when he came. It's a gift for us for today. It's a gift for us for tomorrow. And it's a gift for us every day that we walk on this earth. It was God's love that motivated him to send Jesus into this world to save us from our sin. We must not forget that Jesus came on a mission. And the mission was motivated by love. And that mission was to save us. This baby in a manger was sent by his Father to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. God so loved this world that he gave his Son. It's no wonder that at Christmas, one way to celebrate is by giving gifts. While we celebrate the wonder of the coming of our Lord, we have to understand and remember that Jesus was sent, he was given, and one way we celebrate is by giving to others. Hope invaded us 2,000 years ago, and we are here still reaping from the benefits. I've entitled my message this morning, Hope Invasion. And we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the hope we have for now and the hope we have to live forever. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this wonderful day that we can celebrate. You're coming to give us hope. You're coming to save us. You're coming to give us a better today and a better tomorrow and a better eternity. God, I pray that today your hope would arise in this place, that we would see you and invite you in to give us hope where we might not have it. God, I pray that you bless the words that are spoken today. May they bring you honor and bring you glory. And most of all, may they encourage us and lift us up today. And may we just have a great Christmas season celebrating the greatest gift of all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So hope for now. If you have your Bibles or electronic devices, you can turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read five scriptures or five verses from that chapter. And then we're going to discuss it a little bit. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he gave us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So in verse 5, we see that Paul writes, character produces hope. God's leading in the midst of difficulty. When God leads us in the midst of difficult situations, and we have hope in him through those situations, we are strengthened. We find a great confidence if we would put our trust in his hope for right now. His hope does not lead to disappointment. His hope does not lead to us. When we hope in him, I think a lot of times for me personally, sometimes when I'm extravagant about my hope in Christ, like I sometimes put pressure on myself to stay hopeful, to stay in that place of hope. Instead of putting my trust in him and his power and what he can do in my life and the things that he can provide for me, if we can get to a place where we take the pressure off of ourselves and not hope in what we can do and hope in the things that we can do in our strength or the things that we can provide for ourselves, if we could put our hope in Christ, hope in God for the good things that he's done for us, put our hope in him and forget about ourselves, we will get to a place where we realize that we will not fall short. Like, he will always be there to catch us, to lift us up, to hold us up. But we have to put our hope in him. We have to put our confidence in him. We have to be confident in the truths that he's given us in the Word. You know, when I think about confidence in something, it reminds me of my 10-year-old. All of a sudden, he knows everything, and he's confident that he knows everything. Like, he's very confident in the things that, the life that he's lived so far, and all the various things that he's learned over his long life. But he's confident that he knows the right answer. He knows better than me. Like, he, a lot. Dad, that's not right. Okay, son. Right? But he's confident in his, he's confident in himself and what he thinks he knows. So for you and I, we get confident like that sometimes too in the things that we can do. But God wants us to just shift our focus just a little bit. Like, shift your perspective just a couple degrees. And there he is. Like, think about if there's like a mirror in front of you. You're looking at yourself in the mirror. You're speaking to yourself. You're confident in what you're saying. It all makes sense to you, but then you look this way. You look like maybe past the mirror. and you see God over there like, hey, I got something better for you. Don't settle for just that little thing. I have something better for you. I have more hope for you. I have a deeper relationship for you. I have more love to show you. If we just shift just a little bit, we'll see our Father in the back saying, hey, the things that you understand are very, very minimal to the things that I have for you. So if we just shift our perspective just a tad, we'll see him and the confidence that he has for us. The confidence will lead to hope, right? So when we think about hope for a better life, you may be thinking some of these thoughts. God doesn't see me. Am I really worthy of a better life? Would God really rescue someone like me? I've done some pretty bad things. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve a better life, right? Has anybody else had these thoughts? God, really? I've messed up a lot. You really have enough love and compassion that you would give me a hope for a better life now? You would give me a hope to live in a better place? If there is hope, if there's no hope of winning, the baseball, football, and softball team will never bring their heart to the field. Without hope, the success of the inventor, researcher, discoverer, they'll stop trying to advance their achievements. Without hope, those who are struggling against great odds, whether it's debilitating or terminal, will simply be overcome by the disadvantages they face. We are a people that need hope, and a certain hope. Without hope, life becomes unbearable, unlivable, and without hope, it is very, very difficult for us to face the future. What is heartbreaking is many people live today in a life without hope. People struggle to imagine that their life could be better. We struggle to see past our circumstance, see past the things that are happening in our lives that seem to be stacking up the odds against us, right? The things that, the trials we face, there's a brick in front of us. You lose your job, there's another brick. You get sick, there's another brick, right? But God's, if we put our hope in him, he's chiseling that mortar away. He's chiseling the things that we have stacked up against us. When we put our hope in him, he's knocking them down. He's knocking down the walls to give us confidence of a better life. God has enough capacity to fill each and every one of us with hope that will never die. That's how much he loves us. That's how much compassion and care he has towards us. He is so big and so vast. It's beyond our imagination. It's beyond what we can even conjure up in our mind to believe would be true. It's so much more than we can ever think or imagine. Right? Do y'all agree with that? Once we get the revelation of what God sees for you, you begin to have your dreams again. You can begin to hope again. You can begin to believe and hope that you can have a better life. But what we have to understand is, I think about, on this instance, I think about my 4-year-old. She's little, right? Most of the things that she wants in life are out of her reach. If she wants something out of the top of the fridge, it's out of her reach. If she wants a snack out of the pantry, it's out of her reach. The things that she desires are most of the time out of her reach. But I do what any good father would do. If it's okay for her to have a snack, I pick her up so she can reach what she desires. If she needs some milk, I pick her up and she gets the milk out of the refrigerator. And it's the same thing for us. God sees our hearts. He knows our desires. He knows how we feel. But when we put our hope in him, he lifts us up, right? He lifts us up to help us achieve and retrieve the things in life that we want. I'm here to tell you, everyone in this space, everyone outside of these walls, everyone in this world qualifies to live a life of hope right now. You've been qualified. You've been redeemed. You've been approved. It's nothing that we can do. He's approved you for hope. When he sent his son, Emmanuel, God with us, he approved his hope for each and every person in the world. He approved you to receive hope for a better life. We all need hope. It's essential. Without it, we lose vision, we lose our dreams, we lose our desires. And when we do those things, we stop living a life, or we quit working to make things better in our lives. You know, when I was a little kid, grew up right down the road here in Elkton, Virginia. Elkton, any Elkton peeps in the house? Yeah, a few of you. I grew up in Elkton, and we used to play fast pitch. We had a tennis ball and a baseball bat. We played fast pitch tennis ball, like wiffle ball kind of, but with a tennis ball and a baseball bat. And we'd always play in my backyard. We had a big backyard, but there were walnut trees along this side, elm trees along this side, and the house was right behind us. And sometimes, you know, you would hit a foul ball or you would hit a ball and it would get hung up in the walnut tree, right? And when that happened, it was automatic. Do-over, do-over, we get a do-over. The ball got hung up, we have a do-over. That's the same thing that God's speaking to us. Wait, are you hung up a little bit? I'll give you a do-over. Let's go back to zero balls and zero strikes. You have a do-over. We have a do-over once we invite God to come into our lives. We get a do-over when we put our confidence in the hope that only he can provide us. We get a do-over on life. We get to try it again. And guess what? When we trip, we get to try it again. He doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, you tripped and fell. You're a little short. You're out of there. He picks us up. He wipes the dirt off of us, and he says, hey, you can try again. Let's try again to put our hope in him to live a better life now. I don't know where you are in life, what you're going through, how far you run from God, how far you've drifted away. It doesn't matter. I want you to know that God is saying, you can have a do-over. You can start again. You can retry putting your hope in me. You can retry putting your confidence in me. He doesn't care what we have done. We have an opportunity to start over. We desperately need this life of hope with God. That leads me into the next hope. Hope for forever. That's a good, good hope, right? Can you agree with me? It's a good hope. There is a hope of, it's the hope of all hopes. Everyone, every single person in this world wants to live forever. Nobody wants to die. Nobody. Whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, agnostic, whatever it is, nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to live forever. The pharaohs and the pyramids were buried with their chariots and their jewels. The Native Americans were buried with their favorite horses and their weapons of war, right? Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to live forever. Everybody believes there's something after this life. But we have the best hope of all, because we can live forever. We never experience death. We go from life to life of eternity. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. There is an eternity. There is a life after this. That is the purpose of the gift of Jesus. We need to see him for the gift that he is, right? What did he come for? He was on a mission to come and save the world that was dying, a world that was decaying, a world that needed hope, a world that needed a Savior so they could live forever. He gave us new birth. And this is another area where we make it hard. We try to prepare ourselves and do the things that we have power to do. And he's like, no, I already paid it. I already ransomed you. I redeemed you. I approved you. You have eternal life. There's nothing that we can do with our own strength and power to get eternal life. The only way we get to eternity is by putting our hope in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Right? Hope is a determined need of the human heart. That's why the writer of Hebrews says hope is the anchor of the soul. Now, when you think about an anchor, I think about a boat, right? When you put an anchor down, it holds the boat in place. Storms are coming, trying to move the boat, but the anchor is deep. The anchor is heavy. It's holding the boat in place. We are the boat. Hope is the anchor of our hearts. Hope is what holds our heart in place. It's our anchor. It's our very breath. It's our very confidence to live forever. Notice what he says in verse 4, you also have a place and it is called home, and into an inheritance that can never perish. We have an inheritance that will never decay, that will never go away, that will never spoil, and it's eternal life. The things of this world all decay, right? They fade away. Houses, you look at houses that were built hundreds of years ago, what happens to them? They get old. They start falling down. You know, I ride around sometimes and I look at all these barns that have been around for 50, 60, 100 years and they're all rusty and falling apart. Half of it's falling down. That's what's going to happen to this world. But our hope of eternity, our hope to live forever, is a hope of a life that will never fade away, that will always be beautiful, that you'll never experience pain, you'll never experience suffering. It's a hope to live a life of joy and gladness forever. Forever is a long time, right? Anybody ever seen The Sandlot? I think of Small saying, forever, right? It's a long time. Forever is a long, long time. I don't know about you, but the hope that I have in eternal life, living a life with our Savior, living a life with the best of the best, living a life of hope, of laughter, always smiling. You know when you smile a lot, how your cheeks, they hurt? You can't, like, they get kind of stuck smiling. That's what I think eternity is going to be like. Like, you're always smiling, you're always happy, you're always excited. You get to wake up, you get to praise the King, you get to take a nap when you want to, and you can wake up and praise the King some more. You get to take naps on the most plush feather pillow top mattresses. This might not be what heaven is like, but for us to understand what it could be like here, imagine that. Imagine the best of the best this world has to offer, and then magnify that by a million or affinity. That's what eternity is going to be like. That's what we're putting our hope in. Isn't that something good to believe in? That's good to hope for, right? It's good to hope for eternity where there's no decay, there's no rust, there's nothing falling down. All the drywall screws are staying in the wall, but nothing's settling. There's no cracks in the ceilings, right? There's no settling of the foundation because our foundation is firm in the hope of eternity. I notice also in the scripture that he is protecting our eternity. He's defending it for us. He's defending us. He's our great defender. He's our protector. Isn't it a great confidence to have a hope in a Savior that defends us all the time? That will never quit defending us. This is what eternity is. Living a life with a Savior that always, always has our six, right? That means he has our back. I learned that from like a military show I watched one time. He always has our back. He's always looking out for us and our best. He wants us to have our best life. When we trust Christ, the penalty of our sin, when we trust Christ and the penalty of our sin was handled. In the present, the power of sin is dealt with so we are not overcome by it. Like if we trust Him, if we really believe that this great Savior can protect us and give us eternal life, we can have hope to live forever. Our salvation is past, present, and future. Our salvation, the past portion, is He paid the price for our sins, removed them from us, never to be thought about again when we ask for forgiveness. That's the past. It's gone. The present is we have a hope for right now. We can live this life in expectation of salvation, expectation to live in eternity. And the future is when we live with Him forever and bask in His glory and all the good things that He has given us. Christ's death for sinners was not rooted in us being good or worthy. It's not rooted in our performance, our behavior, or our goodness. It's rooted in God's love. Romans 5:8 says, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We were marked unworthy, and yet He saw us as worthy and sent His Son to die for you and I. First Thessalonians 5:9-11. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out His anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when He returns, we can live with Him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up. That's so good. That is so good. He chose us. One way that helps the light turn on for me sometimes is to hear stories of hope, stories of God's redemption, stories of how hope invades us. I've invited my brother-in-law, Travis Lone, to come share his testimony because this is a testimony of hope. Hope in a better life now and hope for eternity. So while he shares, come on over, brother. While he shares, position yourself in a place to hear this testimony. It's so good. Listen to what he has to say and the hope that God has given him.
Well, good morning, church. Thank you, JJ. It's an honor to share the stage with my brother-in-law, my best friend, my pastor. My prayer for each of you today is that my testimony will give you more hope for the future. God, thank you for allowing me to be on this stage today, God. God, I ask for your presence to come in. I ask for you to speak through me. God, may my words be a blessing to you and give you all honor and glory. God, also, will my story just impact people in this room to give you the glory. God, I thank you for all that you've done in my life, and I thank you all for all that you're going to do in the lives of the people in the room today. In Jesus' name. For the sake of time, let me take you back to my senior year. It was 1998. I was an average football player, an average student. My sport was wrestling. If you ask my coaches, my classmates, or even my wife, they would tell you I was a heck of a wrestler. My identity was in wrestling. Every decision I made was revolved around, will it make me a better wrestler? My senior year, I began receiving offers from colleges to wrestle, and I really thought my future was bright. Then reality hit. As I realized that I was missing a few credits to get into D1 colleges, I was forced to attend Blue Ridge Community College, which we all know they do not offer athletic programs. Church, being that my identity was in wrestling, I became lost and depressed. I lost my hope. The thing I promised myself I would never do, drugs, I found myself addicted to. I still remember the day I was hanging out with some friends, and because I had lost my identity, my passion, and my purpose that was wrapped up in sports, I told myself, what do I have to lose? That day, I tried meth. That day, I became addicted to a drug that took over my life for 6 years. At one point during my drug addiction, I was doing over $1,000 worth of meth a week. I hurt my family and friends during this time. My life was spiraling out of control. A lot of my friends were going to jail, and I even found out I got a girl pregnant. I still could not shake the habit. It was in 2005, a defining moment that happened that changed everything. I received a call one night that my stepfather had died of a massive heart attack. Guys, this rocked me. I was very close to my stepdad. I told my best friend that night, my brother-in-law, our pastor, I said, I need to change my life around and maybe even start going to church. To my surprise, he said his dad was a pastor and he would give him a call. That night, Pastor Carl Sly came over to my house and we prayed. He prayed with my mom, and then he came out and he shared the gospel with me. I prayed the sinner's prayer. It was that night I found my new identity in Christ. It was that night I found out who I was and whose I was. Who am I in Christ? I am accepted. John 1:12 says, I am a child of God. Colossians 1:13 through 14 says, I have been redeemed and forgiven for all my sins. Who am I in Christ? I am secure. Romans 8:31 through 39 says, I am free from any condemnation brought against me, and I cannot be separated from the love of God. Philippians 1:6 says, I am confident that God will complete the good work he started in my life. Who am I in Christ? I am significant. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. My identity is now in Jesus. God has done an amazing work in my life, church. My daughter, from the lady I spoke about getting pregnant in my story, is now 14. She is thriving in school and horseback riding. God also brought back the love of my life, my high school sweetheart. We have two girls of our own who are 6 and 2. My wife and three daughters are God's greatest gifts he has given to me. Lastly, God has blessed me with an amazing opportunity to own multiple tropical smoothie franchises here in the valley. God is surely good. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? You see, church, as we talk about hope today, we don't have to hope like the world does. We have the activator to hope. It's called Jesus. He is called Jesus. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we can now have the expectation that all that we have been hoping for will come to pass. Will you trust him today? Will you trust him today? I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And as it's been spoken many times, the hope of the world was born over 2,000 years ago, and that's one of God's greatest gifts he has given to us. But there's something more to be excited about. As Pastor JJ comes up here and shares another gift God has given to us, I hope that you will accept it. God bless.
Romans 8:38 says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Be assured of God's love for you today. Be assured. He loves you so much. He'll forget about everything in your past. He'll give you a fresh hope for the future. He'll give you a fresh hope for here and now. The greatest gift that we can ever have this Christmas is to encounter hope for now and encounter hope for forever. To have a hope to take our next breath. To have a hope to walk into tomorrow with confidence that we're going to live a better life. That we're going to have a Savior that's going to live with us in eternity. That's the best gift that you could ever get. Is hope. A hope that never fades or decays. That's the gift that God is offering to us today. If you want to stand with me, we're going to sing a couple verses to a song, King of Kings song. And the first two verses of this song are essentially a sinner's prayer. If you're in here today and you do not have hope of eternity, hope for a better life now, as we sing this song together, reflect on your heart. Ask God for these lyrics to be your reality. And His Word says if you declare Him and believe in Him and invite Him into your heart, that He will enter it. And then He will give you the hope for a better life now and the hope for eternity. So as we sing these verses, if you need Jesus in your heart, sing them in a way of a prayer for yourself and invite Him into your life.